Now, you may have noticed that a couple of weeks ago it was my birthday. Did anybody notice? Yeah, because he had me there with a crown on. Well, for my birthday treat, my son, Des, and his partner, Steve, they took me to London for the day. And, it was great. It was absolutely wonderful. There was a train strike, but they got it all organised. And we drove to Gatwick Airport, got the train from there, and we arrived at Victoria and then walked down towards Buckingham Palace to walk down the Mall, because they were taking me to the National Gallery. And as we walked past Buckingham Palace, the band started. Woo! And then there was a 21-gun salute. I thought, they know I'm here. But we hadn't realised that it was the same day the Queen was opening Parliament. But it was wonderful. So we all the Grenadier Guards were out and the bands, and it was brilliant, brilliant. Went to the National Gallery, had a lovely time, had a nice lunch, and then they took me to see The Lion King. Now, I've seen the musical. I've seen the Disney animation.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it brilliant?
Yes. That's the child in us coming out. But it's the way they've done those the mechanics of interpreting the animals, and I was going to show you a video clip of it, but we're sort of running out of time, so I won't. But it was brilliant, and if you know the story, there's Simba the lion cub, and then he makes some mistakes, and he's filled with shame and guilt, and he leaves the pride, and then time passes, and then he just has that sense to go back to the pride. And there's this moment in the production, and the theatre is dark, and there's sort of starlight, and then this voice, the voice of his father, saying, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are." And it was one of those, I know it was a theatre production, but for me, it was a God moment. You know, God speaks to us at different times and in different ways, and he used that. Remember who you are. And I mentioned it a few to Andy, because he'd been talking about speaking a couple of weeks ago about identity. And I said, you know, I could say something. And he said, no, come today and speak about it. Because God has been speaking to me over the last few months about identity and who am I. And there's the Lion King. Good, thank you. So whether you're a follower of Jesus and have been for many years, like me, or whether you're just beginning on that journey, I want to explore what it means to know who we are as a child of God, as a follower, as a disciple. And I believe there's something here for us all. So just allow the Holy Spirit to impress them, even if it's just one thing that I say this morning that's for you. Just hold on to that. In thinking about, so who am I, and remember who we are, I thought, well, the obvious thing, if you've got to remember who you are, you first need to know who you are. So I want to read from John's Gospel, because I found these verses very helpful in my reflections. So this is Jesus, and here he's speaking mostly to the religious leaders. He's challenging them perhaps to recognize that he is indeed the promised Messiah. And in the prophecies of the Old Testament, the Messiah is often described as the Good Shepherd. So this is what Jesus said. "I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then in John 10:14-16, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So exploring who I am, this seemed to be a good place to start. If I want to gain a deeper understanding of who I am, then I need to find someone who knows me. And Jesus, in this parable, in this passage here, he's the good shepherd who knows his sheep. And he knows me. I used to live in a little village in Nottinghamshire, and our next door neighbours, they had twin sons. And most spring, they would bottle feed lambs that had been abandoned. And they would bottle feed these lambs. Now, I could not tell these boys apart. They were identical twins. But their personal lamb did. And you'd watch one lamb following after one boy and the other lamb following after the other. This was an image that the people of the time would have recognized. Because on the hillsides, there would be a number of shepherds with a small flock. And they would keep their flocks secure at night, all in one sheep pen. And then in the morning, each shepherd would come and call his sheep, and they would follow him. They wouldn't follow another shepherd. So there was lots of imagery going on here that would be recognized by the people who were listening. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And this is a theme that runs all the way through the Bible. God knows us. To Moses, he said, I look favorably on you. I know your name. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Knowing someone means different things to different people. And in the culture of the New Testament, that would have been the case. Because in the Greek culture, to know someone meant that you had an understanding of them. You were aware of them. You had knowledge of that person. Oh, yes, I know who you are. That it was a knowledge. To the Hebrew mind, though, to know someone meant that you had a relationship with them. It was a personal involvement. And when Jesus speaks these words, I know my sheep, I think he draws on both of those understandings, those cultures, because he knows all about us. He knows everything about us, but he also knows us intimately. That's his desire. And that's what God has always wanted, that intimate relationship. So knowing means knowing about you, being aware, oh yes, I know James. Yeah. But it's also knowing with relationship. And one of my favorite verses of the Old Testament is from Isaiah, and it says, see, I have written your name on the palm of my hands. God has tattooed my name on the palm of his hands. God has tattooed your name on the palm of his hands, and you can never be forgotten. You're constantly in his mind. You are remembered. All of our days, all of our ways are known to him. So if we are each so intimately known by God, then surely he has to be the first person to go to get an understanding of who I am, because he knows me better than I know myself. God knows you because from the beginning of time, that's how what he created you for. He created you for relationship with him. And that's hinted at in the Genesis, in the opening stories of the Old Testament. God created male and female in his own image, and he declared very good, the man and the woman. And there God created a garden for them to live in, and they had everything they needed to live fulfilled lives. They were in relationship with God, with each other, and the environment around them was a place of security and provided them with every sustenance and also a sense of purpose, because they had a role to care for the world that God had created around them. And then came the rebellion, and every aspect of what God had intended in that knowing relationship was fractured. Every aspect was fractured. I think some among the saddest words spoken in Scripture are in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit, their eyes are opened to their nakedness, and they hear the sound of the Lord God as he's walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from him. These are the saddest words. The Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And those sad words. I heard you, and I was afraid, and I hid. On that day, shame, guilt, self-consciousness, blame shifting, inadequacy, and so much more entered and corrupted the relationship between the Creator and the created. The beautiful life that God planned and created for us, a life of intimacy, of knowing him and being known by him, and therefore being able to know ourselves, walking in the cool of the day, talking to the Lord about our joys and our challenges, our surprises and delights, all of that shattered, broken, distorted, and each one of us now lives with the consequences of that day. But there is good news. There is good news, because God has persistently and continually been actively taking initiatives to restore the relationship, to restore us to the life he created for us. And wonderfully, he has achieved that in the life, death, and victory of Jesus Christ. In the passage I began with earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus goes on to make a connection with what happened in Genesis chapter 3, because the man and woman were told, if you eat from that tree, you will surely die. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. Something broke, something was destroyed. But Jesus says, in that passage from John 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and to have it to the full. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the Messiah. I am the one to restore what was lost in Genesis at the beginning of time. He lays down his life for the sheep. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. And that's what Jesus was foretelling, what would happen on Calvary. And through him, we have now been secured a life in all its fullness. We can know God, and we can know that we are known by God. And we can know ourselves as God planned us to be. So, if this is true, if this is what God has done for us, then who am I? Who am I? Well, I want to share another bit of personal testimony. And I hope this this is helpful in some way. Earlier this year, I went on a retreat, and it was a led retreat. So it was there was some teaching, and it was a bit more formal than the retreat days we're going to be having at St. Cuthman's. But it was a led retreat, and we were looking at actually this subject of identity and knowing who I am. And there was a lot of information there that I knew already. It wasn't new to me. There were scriptures that I'm well familiar with, scriptures about being God's child, that I'm forgiven, that I'm chosen, I'm a holy one. And some of the material we used was very much like the Freedom in Christ material. If you've been on a Freedom in Christ course, you'll know it. But God, in his wisdom, used something that was very familiar to me to go somewhat deeper into in that knowledge of who I am. We are created in the image of God, and I know that I am a person, and that, as Andy was saying to us last week, I am a knower, an agent, not a knower building a boat. I know things, and I know I have understanding. Communicative, I'm creative, I'm loving, I'm relational. And all of those areas have been distorted by the fall. But I am also spirit. I am created in the image of God, and God is spirit. And the thief broke in and has robbed, stolen, destroyed aspects of my spiritual life, both by my sin and by the sin of others, things that have been done to me, over me, and around me by our culture and the world that we live in. My spirit has been wounded. And it was here on this particular retreat that I began to feel, experience a measure of healing and restoring. We were given a list of statements, similar to how we are on Freedom in Christ, statements about my identity, and we were asked to go away, find a quiet space and reflect on them, which I did. I've done that many times. And then in the next session, they asked us to pair up with someone and sit quietly and speak these statements over each other. That I was not anticipating, because here it's like God used that to take something that I knew and take it deeper. It was hearing someone make this a very personal declaration over me. And as I say, I was not prepared for that. But I thank God that he took me unawares and took me deeper into knowing who I am from his perspective, not mine. Knowing who I am. I like this. There's a picture, the lion and child picture. Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank you. I love that. This picture was shown at the Six last week, and I love it. Because the scripture says, the Lord is spirit, who is spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And it's a process. I know that what God did for me earlier this year, he's going to have to keep coming back to and coming back to, because it's a process. I know the truth of who I am in Christ. And I know who I am, but I am becoming who I am. That's part of the mystery of the way God works. We have these truths to stand by, and then by his spirit we become who we are. The child is looking at this image, and let's just, for argument's sake, imagine that that's an image of the Lion of Judah, of Jesus. And as we look into him, we become more and more like him. And it is the Christ in me identity that he is wanting to restore and build and grow. A couple of weeks ago, when Andy was talking about knowing our identity, some words were given from the congregation, and one of them was from Revelation 3. God has written his name on our hearts. God has written his name on our hearts. And when Jesus spoke about knowing the sheep, he calls them by name. And knowing the name and being called by name, these are key things. It's the attaching my name to my identity. Because I think that's what I wasn't doing. I was understanding the scriptures and accepting the scriptures, but attaching my name to them. And my name is Linda, but I also have God's name written on my heart. And then there's another scripture in Revelation, and these are promises, and it's to the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone and a new name on it, known only to the one who receives it. Now, I can't begin to fully understand all that that means. Revelation is one of those books that we have to acknowledge that God knows far more than we do, and this is mystery. I can't understand it all, but there is something here that says names are significant and powerful. So why else would God promise to both write his name on our hearts and gift us with a new name? And the other thing that that struck me in this was to receive a gift. To receive the gift of a new name, we first have to open our hands to receive it. And an open hand means that we let go of the names that we hold on to. Now, I wonder what that means to you. What are the names we hold on to? I'm going to give us some time now to wait on God and ask him to minister and speak to us. And I actually have a few white stones here. And I want them here for you to receive, to represent what God has stored up for you in heaven. He has a white stone with a name written on it. But in receiving it, you receive it on an open hand. So let go of some of the names that we hold on to, names that we take up for ourselves, names that give us an identity. Sometimes they're seemingly good names, to be a helper, a preacher, a carer, a healer, a worshipper, a provider. They're good identities to have. But sometimes they distract us from the identity that God has for us. And then there are names that are placed on us that wound our spirit, that diminish us. Names like foolish, useless, guilty, shameful, pathetic, unloved, unlovable. So I'm going to ask the band to come and play quietly. And I'm going to be asking you if, in a moment, if you'll stand. And at the beginning of this story, this service, we began by declaring the names of God and worshipping in our songs, affirming who he is. I believe God wants to declare over us who we are. And so as the band plays, I'm going to pray and declare some of his names for us, names that are in scripture, but he wants you to hear them and to know them in a deeper way, perhaps, than you have previously known them. And I have some white stones, as I say, and I'm going to ask the prayer ministry folk if they would be willing to sort of stand around. And if you would like to receive a white stone, then I'm going to invite you, please, just to make your way and receive one on an open hand. and that be representing, Lord, I am letting go of the names that have wounded me, that have held me back, that have taken me away from you. And I want to receive your name written on my heart and the new name that you have that you have in heaven for me. So, band, if you would mind starting to play, and I will pray, and I'm going to ask you to stand. Because standing says, I want to be open, I want to be willing to hear what you're saying to me, Lord. And I want to declare some of these names by which God knows you intimately, personally. This is what the Lord says. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, I declare over you that he is the good shepherd and that you are his. He calls you by name. I declare that you are a child of God, friend of Jesus, salt of the earth. I declare that you are honored. You are holy. You are redeemed. I declare to you that you are the light of the world. You are forgiven, adopted, cherished. You are loved. You are a conqueror. I declare that you are chosen, born of the Spirit of God, gifted, accepted. I declare that you are a saint. You are known by God, who is your Father in heaven. You are known by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You are known by God the Holy Spirit. If you want to receive a stone, if perhaps the prayer ministry team will come, I want to give you a stone. And please, could you? Yeah. Father, forgive us for believing the lies that have been spoken over us and the false names which have clung to us. Help us to come to an agreement with who you say that we are. Lord, we want to thank you that we can each know ourselves to be created in your image. Lord, as we receive these white stones, help us to know that your name is written on our hearts, and that you have waiting for us a true white stone with our name on. You know our name. And our name is beautiful.